Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The title is Murshid Se Darkhwast Dua. Sakiya Jame Ulfat Pila De Meri Islah Ki Bhi Dua De Sakiya Jame Ulfat Pila De میری اصلاح کی بھی دعا دے میرے مولا سے مجھ کو ملا دے اور گناہوں کو مجھ سے چھڑا دے مجھ کو نفرت ہو ہر معصیت سے روح کو میری ایسی دوا دے مجھ کو نفرت ہو معصیت سے روح کو میری ایسی دوا دے ہو تقاضا اگر معصیت کا ہوں نہ مغلوب ہمت خدا دے اپنی آہ سحر میں یہ کہنا اے خدا اپنی کامل رضا دے چین کی نیند مجھ کو سلا دے خواب غفلت سے مجھ کو جگا دے چین کی نیند مجھ کو سلا دے خواب غفلت سے مجھ کو جگا دے جذب سے مجھ کو اے میرے مالک اہل تقوا کرم سے بنا دے جذب سے مجھ کو اے میرے مالک اہل تقوا کرم سے بنا دے اپنے اختر کو رسوا نہ کرنا اس کے عیبوں کو یا رب چھپا دے اپنے اختر کو رسوا نہ کرنا اس کے عیبوں کو یا رب چھپا دے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام علی عباد الذین اصطفا. ما بعد فرینڈز, دیز آر دی اشعار اف اور حضرت دادا شیخ رومی زمانہ تبریز دورہ شاہ محمد حاکی محمد اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ, which are filled with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and entitled Murshid Se Darkhwast Dua, that we make a request to our Murshid that he makes dua for us so that we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the first couplet of Zurur Allah rahmat Allah alayhi says, Saqiya jami ulfat bilade, meri islah ki bhi dua de, that oh, the owner of the tavern, the one who is passing around the goblets of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me also drink from that goblet of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on my behalf, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reforms my habit, reforms my lifestyle, so that I can lead a life that will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, Hazrat Allah rahmatullah alayhi says, mere maula se mujhko mila de اور گناہوں کو مجھ سے چھڑا دے. That oh my mentor, oh my guide, oh my murshid, make it teach me such lessons, bring me close towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reform my habits, where you see fault in me then rectify my habits, and let sin come out of my life so that I can come close towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because sin is that thing which takes a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, that leave guna, not to say that they were making guna, but advice for the ummah till the day of Qiyamah, that stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will become the closest and the most pious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, Hazrat Allah rahmatullah alayhi says, mujhko nafrat ho har maasiyat se, rooh ko meri aisi dawa de, that give me such medicine, give such medicine to my ruh, to my soul, that I start disliking everything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must run away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like drinking salt water, that a person's thirst will never ever get quenched. The more he drinks, the more thirsty he will become. The more a person gets involved in ma'siyat, in sin, he will go further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further, Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi in the next couple it says, Ho taqaza agar ma'siyat ka, ho na maghloob humma himmat khuda de. That, oh Allah, if I have this urge to sin, to do something wrong, to carry out an action which will displease you, then oh Allah, let me use that willpower which you have given me, and let me stay away. I must not become maghloob, I must not become overwhelmed, and I must not become overpowered by my nafs. Because this nafs will always lead a person towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, give me such a nafs which will be mutma'inna, which will be radiyam mardiya. So Allah, give me such a nafs, give me such a willpower that I must not be overwhelmed, I must stay away from your disobedience. Further, apni aah sahar mein ye kehna, ey khuda apni kamil rada de, that oh my murshid, oh my guide, oh my mentor, when you are up for your tahajjud salah, when you are in solitude, when you are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever it is, please remember me in those duas. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He must give me His complete rida, He must give me His happiness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be pleased with me. Chain ki neend mujhko sula de, khwab-e ghaflat se mujhko jaga de, that oh my mentor, oh my shaykh, oh my murshid, please wake me up from this sleep, this negligent sleep of my, this slumber, this unmindful life, this neglectful life which I have been leading, so much in the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wake me up from this slumber, and let me lead a life that I can have one of peace and one of comfort and of serenity. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that only in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is contentment of heart. Just say, mujhko, ey mere malik, ahle taqwa karam se bana de, oh my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pull me towards you. And like a magnet pulls a piece of steel, like that, even if I don't want you, you make arrangement that I become close to you, pull me towards you, and include me among those who have taqwa, who are always concerned about you, who have always this in mind, that one day I'm going to have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, make me from amongst those who have taqwa, that I lead a life that will be pleasing to you. And in the last couple of Hazrat Allah rahmatullahi alayhi says, apne akhtar ko ruswa na karna, that oh Allah, do not ever disgrace me, do not humiliate me. That in this world, when a person does something wrong, then he's so scared, my father will find out, my brothers will find out, what if my wife finds out, my children will find out, what will happen? What will happen in society? Then on that day of Qiyamah, oh Allah, Rabbana la tu wa atina ma wa atana ala rasul, wa la tukhzina yawm al Qiyamah. That oh Allah, do not disgrace us, do not humiliate us on that day. In this world also, Allah mustur awratina. That oh Allah, our faults, you are sattar, you cover it up. Do not make us, do not humiliate us and disgrace us in this world at the time of death, in the qabr and in the akhirah. Oh Allah, make it that we lead such lives that you be pleased with us. Uske aibo ko ya Rab chupa de. Oh Allah, you are sattar, please conceal our faults. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us among those who will lead lives that are pleasing.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem amma ba'd. In the kitab Hayatul Muslimin, written by Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh. See, when the halat and conditions became difficult, then he was very parashan and worried, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him with this kitab, in which 25 ruhs, 25 chapters he wrote, by which if the Muslim ummah will follow, inshallah, they will come out of all of their problems and difficulties, and Allah will give them izzat and honor and success in this world, qabr and akhirah. So first two chapters have gone through already. The first one was Iman and Islam. The second one was the acquisition of knowledge and imparting deen knowledge. Then Hazrat brings another chapter in between here, the revolution of the Ummah. Ummati ma Ummah. This is the call and slogan of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His deep love for his Ummah caused him to always call out in dua, Ummati, Ummati. The revolution of the Ummah in relation to the cry of Ummati does not have for its goal worldly revolution. Thus the term revolution must not be understood in the context of worldly change and revolution. Although a discussion regarding the worldly revolution of the Ummah is not futile, Nevertheless, the dimension of change falling within our discussion here is Dini revolution. The change or revolution which is the aim and goal of Islam has no affinity and no relationship with the kind of worldly changes which have overtaken the Ummah. Your Hazrat now is mentioning that if you look at our lives, we will find that that we have got no connection at all. We call ourselves Ummati, but we have got no connection with the Shariat. He says there are five branches of Deen: Aqaid, beliefs, Diniyat, Salat, fasting, Nikah, Talaq, etc., Mu'amalat, transactions, contracts, trade, etc., Mu'asharat, social life, example, food, dress, speech, Salam, etc., and Akhlaq, moral character. So now Hazrat mentions all five of them and how far we have drifted. Regarding Aqaid and beliefs, it is indeed fortunate that the revolution of rejection has not yet overtaken the Ummah. Beliefs are not outrightly rejected, although some changes have taken place under the cover of Deen. The type of changes affected under cover of Deen fall within the scope of Bidah innovation. It is for the sake of Bidah that the Ahle Batil, people of falsehood, have become the opponents of the Ahle Haq, the people of truth, because of the latter's endeavors to rectify the error of Bidah. In short, the Nusus, the Quran and Hadith, have not been refuted, but have been subjected to baseless interpretation, ta'wil al-batil. The evil condition of baseless interpretation is the malady which has overcome the ulama. But the modernists have transgressed further by having adopted the revolution of rejection as well. They've rejected the Nusus of the Quran, the Ahadith of Rasulullah. He says not only they reject it, in fact at times they mock and jeer at the beliefs of Islam. As a result of their mocking and jesting at the deen, the ulama haq have labeled them with kufr. The modernists in turn retaliated with epithets, with titles such as bigots against the ulama. But those aware of the nature of kufr will not be deceived. They will know that the ulama have got no choice in the matter. They are under shari compulsion to proclaim such kufr. They will therefore be in agreement with the ulama. So this is the revolution, the state of revolution, which has overtaken the first part of our deen, our aqaid. That unfortunately, Hazrat wrote it about 100 years ago, where people haven't rejected openly, but unfortunately today in the schools and universities where youngsters are just becoming atheists, openly rejecting the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are seeing Muslim people who are leaving the path. Regarding the second part, our diniyat, our salat, sawm, etc., the masses have not changed, made a revolution of bid'ah in it. That is, they have not changed the actual laws and acts pertaining to the teachings of in this department of the Sharia, but they have neglected it. The attitude of neglect towards this part of deen is so marked that it conveys the impression that salat and sawm, etc., are not obligatory acts of worship. The same attitude of indifference has been adopted in regard to matters pertaining to nikah, talaq, etc. While they accept them as important parts of the deen, the general public acts on a basis of desire. In a conflict between the deen demand and the nafs, they give preference to the nafs. For example, the commission of fornication, living together as man and wife, in spite of the fact that the person has given three talaqs to his wife. So the second part applies to the masses, that they are indifferent, they have omitted it. But the modernists, that is the product of Western education, have no hesitation in denying the validity of even these actions and practices of deen. The change which the remaining three parts of deen, that is Mu'amalat, Mu'ashrat and Akhlaq, have been suffered, is far greater than the revolution which has overtaken the first two departments of deen. Even the masses, due to ignorance, have excluded the three parts of deen. That means the first two parts they regard as deen, but the other three parts they regarded as worldly affairs. Matters applicable to only the world, and as such to be decided upon and chosen by opinion and fancy. Thus impure motives and corruption of the heart have played havoc in these three fields of the deen. So new customs have come in every part, every rule of in demand of the Shariat, they have completely changed according to the desires of the people. And many, many customs, habits, which have no affinity and sanction in the Sharia, now constitute the way of life of the Ummah. In having chosen an Islamic, innovative way of life, the masses do not feel the slightest inhibition. They don't feel very bad, because they do not consider themselves to have erred in this respect. On the contrary, they proudly regard the newly adopted un-Islamic way of life as progress. In fact, they regard their personal practices, customs and ways, which they have introduced in opposition to the dini rules and etiquette of conduct, to be superior to the Sharia. This attitude is clearly demonstrated
by the severe opposition they offer to those people who call them towards the true law and way of life of a Muslim, that is the Sunnah. So these are the changes which have come in the other three branches of Deen. After Hazrat Tamir rahmatullahi now is mentioning now that what exactly has happened in the other branches of Deen, how completely we have changed from them. And then inshallah he will thereafter mention that how can we rectify this and reform this change. Allah Ta'ala give us true understanding.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور صدق الله العظيم. Translation of the ayat Karima, more or less, blessed is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, in whose control is the entire sovereignty. Everything is in the control of Allah and Allah alone. With no ifs and no buts, everything is in the control of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is that being, Alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayat. Allah has created mort also, and Allah has created life also. Life is not in our hands. Nobody came into existence of his choice. Allah gave life. And mort also is not in our choice whatsoever. When Allah has decreed mort, mort will come. So it is totally in the hands only of Allah Ta'ala. Alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayat, and the whole object of this is لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that Allah wants to check you and test you, that who of you are those who do أَحْسَنَ amal, who do beautiful amal, those amal which are the commandments of Allah, the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who of you are those who will do that? So we are in this worldly life not for the dunya's sake, but we are in an exam room, and continuously we are sitting in this exam room, and Allah is testing us all the time. And لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, and Allah is so merciful, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ, Allah is most powerful. In this exam, all of us know how we have failed at almost every turn of our life. But Allah could take us to task and punish us severely for all that. But Allah is Ghafoor. He is most forgiving. Ghafoor is the superlative, the Isme Tafdhil, that Allah Ta'ala is, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah is forgiving, Ghafoor, most forgiving, most merciful. Ghafoorun Haleem. Allah forgives also, and Allah tolerates also. Ghafoorun Shakur. Allah forgives also, and Allah Ta'ala is very thankful also. Allah, there is no need for Allah to be thankful to us. But when we make tawbah and we turn to Allah, Allah is very, very thankful also. Allah is Ghafoorul Wadood. Allah forgives also tremendously, and Allah forgives because He loves His creation. Therefore He forgives. Allah is Afuun, Tuhibbul Afwa. Allah is an embodiment of forgiveness, and He loves to forgive. So Allah forgives, though He is so powerful, He can take us to task, and all the creation together can try and fight against Allah. They can't do anything against Allah Ta'ala whatsoever. Allah is so powerful. But in spite of that, Allah forgives also. And Allah forgives tremendously also. Our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, Rahimahumullah Ta'ala, explained that, and this is very important for all of us to keep it in mind, that at the time of mort, a person's name is entered in one of three registers. There will be three registers open at the time of mort. And everything, kama tahyun tamutun, how we are living, that is going to impact on that time of mort. What I'm saying, what I'm hearing, which place I am in, what I'm doing, what I'm motivating, whatever it is, all these things will impact on our mort. How we live, finally, that time, at the time of mort, is going to impact on that. So therefore, it is very, very important, imperative, that we think about our mort and ma ba'd al-mort, life after death. Today, unfortunately, it has become that a person, how many people, they say, I'm no more a Muslim. It's just like a matter of choice that I prefer mutton or I prefer chicken. It's just like a matter of choice. I'm not a Muslim. But what are the implications of it? What does it mean to say something? To be a Muslim, what does that mean? And to say I'm not a Muslim, well, iyazu billah, Allah in His great mercy and kindness protect us all. For small petty things of dunya that we don't, we forget about our akhirah. We forget what is going to happen, how my mort is going to come, what is going to happen in the akhirah. So there are these three registers. The one, first one of them is the register of kufr, disbelief. The people who are non-believers and they die as non-believers, very, very sad that the names will go into that. It is nothing that we have to be happy about, but we have to cry about it. That a person will have to go and go into the fire of Jahannam. And the fire of Jahannam, the Quran Sharif has explained in various places. So that is one, the non-believers. Allah's shukr, no matter how much shukr we make, it was absolutely nothing of our doing that Allah Ta'ala gave us birth in Muslim homes. And no matter how much shukr we make to our parents, they kept for us Muslim names. Today we are such that how many times we keep names, sort of non-Muslim names also, names of witches also, names of the kuffar also, of a film star, of an actress, we keep that names for our children. Our parents came, kept for us Muslim names. And then, especially the males, they made our khatna also, our sunnah. It's no small thing. It's a very, very great thing. But then too, how much do we think of our parents and are we thankful? They send us to maktab, to madrasa also. And how many further they made us alims, they saw that we make namaz, etc. So anyway, there are those, alhamdulillah, Allah gave us this iman. But now it is our duty to see we die with this iman. We've got no guarantee. And when we read, it makes our hair stand on end. That we, what type of people lost their iman at the time of mort? Or during their lives also, they lost their iman. What caliber, what knowledge, what piety, what ibadat. So this is not a small thing. It is a very serious thing. And then in the punishment that will be in the akhirat, for example, for a person who dies without iman, in the fire of Jahannam, لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. He won't die in there. That is, death won't come in Jahannam. And that life, you can't call it life also. That suffering, that torture, drinking of hot pus of the people of Jahannam, by which the intestines will come out of a person. All the terrible punishments that are there. لَهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ مِنَ النَّارِ وَمِنْ تَحْتِهِمْ. There will be clouds of fire on top of them, clouds of fire beneath them. A person will be sandwiched in fire. Allah Ta'ala, oh protect us. So it's not a small thing. We don't think about it. It's not spoken about. But that is a reality, the fire of Jahannam. And the Quran Sharif, right from the beginning till the end, all the ayat, the punishment of the people of Jahannam, they will be tied up in chains. They will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. People will be heaped one on top of the other. Imagine such a condition where you are under, you can't breathe also. And you are suffering. And like this they will be heaped and then pushed into the fire of Jahannam. And then the malaika will be hitting them. Yeah, in this world we just think of police brutality in torture camps, what type. People who have read about this or have some idea of it, this worldly thing we cannot comprehend. What the type of the zalims, the wrongdoers, oppressors, how they oppress and what things they do with people. It's unbelievable what they do with little children, like this concrete machines that we had previously that we used to use. They take a child and they throw him into that concrete machine. All this, and this does not compare anything to the tortures and the punishment of the fire of Jahannam. So that is the fire of Jahannam for those who die without Iman. Those who are living on kufr, but then there are those who last minute Allah gives them tawfiq of Iman. So we have to be very worried about this. It's not a thing we can take lightly. So that is the first register. Allah save us all from there. The whole world, jinn and man, Allah save us all from there. The second register is of the believers, but the sinful believers. Those who committed sin and they did not make tawbah. We all know, check ourselves, we are engrossed in sin. And we at this moment also, how much of sin we are in, which we don't even, the saddest part, and Allah help us, this ghaflat, unmindfulness. A person is in sin, but he doesn't realize he's in sin. So that ghaflat, that unmindfulness. So a person who is in sin and dies without tawbah, he did not make tawbah. Then if Allah wishes still, Allah will forgive him. But if Allah does not forgive him, he will also have to go in the fire of Jahannam. Though not permanently, he will be taken out. But even 1 second in the fire of Jahannam is not comprehensible. We cannot think about it, even one fire. Or hot boiling water, a person will be in hot boiling water. In that flames that will make him rise, and yeah, just a little bit of heat. So even for, and that little while, or whatever, we don't know how long it will be. So that is also nothing so easy. So we have to consider this also. How we are living is not just a matter of this dunya, but it is a matter of akhirat. Dunya is 60, 70 years, some are less, some are more, but the akhirat is forever and ever. Then there are those people who generally amongst us who committed sin, but they made tawbah also. Sincere tawbah. Allah accept it also. And Allah is oft forgiving. You ask Him for forgiveness and he forgives. And we have to keep on asking of Allah Ta'ala that He forgives us. Those people who die with Iman and the sins are forgiven, they go straight into Jannah. And then the ni'mat of Jannat, it's not just a matter of making namaz, yeah, abstaining from this guna, abstaining from that guna, buckling in front of this, giving up just because of this, but it will be Jannat. And the ni'mat of Jannat also, from the beginning till the end, Allah Ta'ala has explained what the great benefit in Surah Ar-Rahman, the third ruku, at the last ruku, how Allah has explained the ni'mat of Jannat. And then in Surah Waqi'ah, how Allah has explained in Surah Dahr, over whole Quran Sharif. So that also we have to keep it in mind. And Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, in fact, wrote Shauq-e Watan, the desire for the Akhirat, at the time when there was a plague also, and people were also like losing hope. So don't worry, these things are happening, but see what you are going to get. And a person who dies in a plague, he dies as a shaheed, and he will get those wonderful ni'mats. So keep that also in mind. So Jannat and Jahannam, and then that is still afterwards, how maut will come to a person. And before, and when Qiyamah will come, when the whole world will shake. And if you are in anything, your car just goes a little bit out of control. Or a person, perhaps he feels a bit dizzy and he can't control himself. We know what that is. When the whole world will shake. When the mountains will be smashed to smotherings. And they will fly just like dust they will fly. Huge, huge, solid mountains. How will all that be? So all that we, whatever we do now, whatever we, our actions are, we can't just look at the immediate result. We have to think all this is going to impact on our maut, it is going to impact on my qabr and the life of the qabr again, and how long it will be. Those who are in enjoyment, what enjoyment they have got. And that is all how we are living our lives here. And those who will, if Allah save us all, our parents, our family, all, the azab of the qabr is no small thing. Great, great sahaba, like they went out of their minds when they thought of the adab of the qabr. Today for us everything is a joke. Everything we just pass it lightly, like it is nothing. These are reality. The day of Qiyamah, to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala, 50,000 years long that day. How will that be? So all this we have to think about. So this is a very important thing, that it is not just this worldly life. I want to make namaz, I don't make namaz. This is doubtful food, or it is not doubtful food. It's just a matter now of your, don't be so serious in life now. Don't become so pious now. You are becoming too pious now. It's not a matter of these things. You are a fundamentalist. You are a person that everything you got a problem with. It's not a matter of that only. It's a matter of the akhirat. The whole world can criticize us here. If the farishtas have to start beating us up, wherever there is police brutality, or some places just the riot police doing their duty, and how they beat up the people, etc., we can't comprehend that. And there the malaika will be like the army of Allah, the police of Allah. And they are such that لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. Whatever they are commanded, they do. They are like very rigid. They don't know what is a smile. They don't know what is like to be soft. And they will be questioning us in the qabr. So Allah give me, help us all. So it is no small thing, it is a serious thing. The present conditions that we are going through, almost all of us are looking at it negatively. But Maulana Gora Saliji, Allah reward him, he said, look at it positively. This is a time when people are concerned, people are worried. Use this to turn, instead of losing hope, turn them towards Allah. Speak about deen. Everyone is just speaking from the dunya's point of view. That this virus is like this, and worst of all, we are speaking of all like it may be a conspiracy, it may be actually, what must we do? All these outward things, we are just about the imaginary things, theories about this, and we are wasting our time in that. What we have to do, the cause also we have to think, but more the solution. So this is an occasion that we can speak more about deen. We can speak to our families. This is an occasion we bring people closer to Allah. Not that they go further away from Allah. All this dunya talks which are taking place, it is taking us further away from Allah. We must bring people closer to Allah. May give this as an example, and a real try in our way, whichever way we can explain to the people. All this is from Allah. A mu'min knows 100%. All halat and conditions are from Allah Ta'ala. And it is account of our misdoings. Today, how lot of guna, most of these ta'un, plagues, etc., are because of adultery, fornication. And today, worse than that, when homosexuality was there, but it is legalized now. And lesbianism, and all these things. So that causes this. So if we can realize, we have drifted from Allah. And we failed in our duty to make the people of the world understand that they're going on the wrong road. Or even let us ask ourselves, then or now also, do we make dua for the hidayat? Allah give them proper understanding, give us proper understanding of deen. We all come on to deen, we come on to the obedience of Allah. So this is the time to try and promote this. try and meet one another. Today, if we can't meet because of laws, then we can use our phone. We used it for many wrong things. Use it now for right things also. And try and just engage with somebody and give him da'wat properly. That we have to come to Allah, we have to come to deen. Akhirat is our main life. Dunya is just temporary. So in this way, we should try and use this in order to go closer towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and speak to everyone. This is not a time to go away from Allah. It is a time to come to Allah ta'ala. Not a time to go away from deen. It is a time to come to deen. And all the places of deen where deen is, this is the time to come there. And then we all should think, each one of us think, for myself first. And for any and everyone, we all mixing with so many people everywhere. These conditions are here for quite a while. How many of us have gone closer to Allah? How many of us in quality also and in quantity also? How many, as far as quantity, have increased our tilawat of Quran Sharif? Have increased our tawbah istighfar? Or are we even making tawbah istighfar? Are we really sincerely asking and admitting that I am the cause of the problem? My wrongdoing, Ya Allah, that is, or are we looking at others' faults, that they are the cause? Till we don't realize I am the cause, we're not going to move forward. That my misdoings, my gunas, and each one of us, our namaz, what is the condition of our namaz? Our iman and yaqeen, now when the test has come on us, we give big talks of iman and yaqeen. But now when the test has come, we all have seen where we are now. Eh? So our everything of us is so faulty. So we ask Allah Ta'ala that we turn to Allah, try and increase whatever amount we can our ibadat. And our quality of our ibadat also, our namazes, everything. And also one great principle of Allah Ta'ala which works, like if a person, ulama of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has explained it quite detailed, if a person, for example, this I'm saying in my words, he doesn't want to keep rozas and he says, I've got ulcers, that's why I can't keep rozas. Then Allah makes it he gets ulcers. So all these things here, we try and look for excuses. A person looks for an excuse to keep away from the masjid, Allah makes it now that you are kept away from the masjid. People in Arab countries who did not keep beards, voluntarily they did not keep beards, Allah made it the law of the country, you're not allowed to keep a beard. Those who are in civil service, etc., they are not allowed to keep beards in countries. So our actions. On the other hand, when we want to do something, then Allah makes it feasible and easy for us. Though we find it difficult, we remember very clearly Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali, whenever like Mashura about the programs and that, who's going to make bayan? So and so. He said, I'm not feeling well, I got fever, I'm not well. Haji Bhai used to say, the treatment of it is bayan. You take the bayan and abad, we saw it. You make your bayan and all your fever, your upset tummy and your diarrhea, all that goes away. So at this time, yeah, let us turn more to Allah Ta'ala. What is within our means, don't let it become less. If wherever we are, let us be turning more to Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, as all this theory is not even, hate to speak about it, but now if people are going, when they're going to be part of so many things, and now they're going to watch films all the time, then we are destroying ourselves. This is the time, if we have to go into quarantine, as somebody put it beautifully, make it Quran time. Read our Quran more now. Hey, how much I was reading, increase my tilawat now. Increase my du'as, increase my zikr, etc. So this is the time that our iman, we will be tested with, and Allah has promised that He is going to test our iman. So these halat, and the sahaba, when these halat came, then the iman increased more. And they say, we trust on Allah even more. We were told these conditions will come. So a mu'min doesn't have to get frightened for these conditions. Allah said He will test us. But now we turn more to Allah Ta'ala. In whichever way it is possible for us, wherever, however, but that we turn more to Allah Ta'ala. And may we turn our hearts to Allah Ta'ala. Our focus, our hearts, our minds must be to Allah Ta'ala. And our iman on Allah without ifs and buts, that Allah does everything, but that now this year we have to do, that there we have to do, we take where Allah bless us. And at such times, a person who turns little towards Allah, Allah's great help comes to him. When the magicians came against Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they did a small amal of dressing like Musa alayhi salam. Allah's so great mercy came on them, we can't imagine that He gave them that level of iman, that all knew Fir'aun, what an oppressor, what zulm he makes, how his own wife, he nailed her with nails and he nailed her down on the ground. They all knew he was that type of a person, but Allah gave them that iman that they did not worry for anything. So at these times, the little we will turn to Allah, talk about Allah Ta'ala, put our trust in Allah, take us out of this dunya and asbab of dunya, no problem, we use asbab, it is sunnah to use asbab, but that we talk of Allah, our trust and yaqeen on Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali has written that in such conditions, a person, no problem whatsoever to use the prevention, the asbab, which are according to Shariat, which are permitted. There is no, but that's not the real solution. You use it. It is medicine is not the real solution to our health. Money is not the solution to our financial problem. Allah is the solution. We have to get to Allah. Secondly, there are those people who for everything they want ta'weez. We will get a ta'weez and things will come right. So for this also, if you use a ta'weez which is within Shariat, no problem also, you can use a ta'weez. Many of us are such, we like wazifas. We read so many times this and no problem, it is good. The zikr, turning to Allah, seeking Allah's help, that is also very, very important. But the real, real thing is, true tawbah, not only reading Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh, is great, we must do it, but the real is change of life, which all the commandments of Allah, we try our utmost to fulfill the commandments of Allah, and every sin we try and keep away. To make lot of ibadat, our basic ibadat is absolutely essential. We can't get away from that. Our faraid, wajibat, sunnat-e mu'akkada, that we have. After that, the greatest ibadat is to keep away from all sin. And each one of us think, what sin? What is my treatment of my wife? The wife should think, how do I treat my husband? Our children, what upbringing are we giving them? Many times we are giving them haram, whatever haram clothes we are giving them, and I feel I'm fulfilling my duty, and my children are smiling it away, they're wearing all this. At this I will just mention this one point, didn't really strike also. Maulana Yunus Daya Sahib, the Ahmad Barakatum, explained that this K-way, this, which is now quite common also, the first time I saw it also, there was something wrong here, it's not something right. But he says he wore something like that. And then a person told him, Maulana, how can you wear this? Not you, not anyone else, not you. So he says, why? You see, it's a pyramid there. Yeah. If you go and see it, it's a pyramid. And it's a Jewish firm that makes it. There is more detail. But it is, and when the century changed, millennium, all those the greatest celebrations were at the pyramids in Egypt, where that is the head of the kufr and all the Zionists and all they work with all that evil from there. Greatest, all the celebrations were there. And this firm is a Jewish firm, and they donate the bulk of their money to Israel for all the zulm they are making. So we try, should try and avoid all these things. And we are so gullible, we don't know. We just took it, it's a nice warm jacket, it's very comfortable, it's nice also, whatever. And we start wearing it. Allah save us there. And there are many other such things, which we think we got that on and I'm pious also. And I'm in my tahajjud also. But we are, what are we wearing? What is our condition? And lot of other things like that. So the real thing is that we see that we try and come out of every guna. Whatever type of guna there is, our earnings we have to see. That are they right or what? We just do any type of deal. We don't take care to question and answer and find out what it is. So for that, now how much more ibadat we can make in these days? If there is a shutdown and we are now, so to say, forced to be at home, let us turn more to ibadat now, more to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So our ibadat, and in ibadat, our tilawat, etc., and in our homes, make them masajid also, which the Quran Sharif, more ibadat, more namazes at home, nafil namazes, our women folk make their namazes, we make our namazes, and we make, and also Allah Ta'ala sees, this is also a principle acknowledged by non-believers also. Great, great, great changes that came in the world was by the thought of one person. And by his simple actions, one Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam changed the history of the world. And like this, even in the bad, the people who brought evil. So if we think that I want goodness to come in the world, and we make that irada, and now I can't do more, but I can do my ibadat in my house. I can give da'wat in my house. And today, let us use what they wanted to destroy us with, the phone. Let us use the phone in order to bring deen alive now. I can't go and meet people, but with my phone I can send messages, I can communicate with people. So we give that da'wat, whichever way. If we show that little keenness, Allah will see that this person in this difficult condition, he's busy with his tilawat, he's busy with dua. Dua is also very important. He's making his zikr, he's giving da'wat, inshallah, on that Allah will bring changes also. So for this, Durood Sharif is one very, very important thing. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi said that it's my conviction, my experience, and the conviction and experience of my elders also. Whenever there were problems, Durood Sharif and Tawbah Istighfar, Allah removed that problem. But we feel that one time we did, it's a once-off thing. No, it's an ongoing thing. And we all do it. And Allah, with regard to Durood Sharif, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written that when Hazrat Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali was writing the kitab Nashrut Teen about Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says you can see what deep love Maulana had for Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, then he had his program of his tartib of doing his work, which kitabs he was writing. The day he should write about this kitab Nashrut Teen, then there was a plague that time in that area, Tanabo and Muzaffarnagar. On those days when he wrote the kitab, there was no death reported. The day he did not write on that kitab, many deaths took place. Then somebody brought it to his notice that the Hazrat, the day you write this kitab, there aren't any deaths. And the day you don't write, lot of deaths. So then he decided, every day I'm going to write. And then in a short while, the plague went away. It got finished. So this is Durood Sharif. We can't see the connection, unfortunately. But there is a deep connection. Durood Sharif pulls Allah's rahmat in torrents, it comes down. Whatever problems we got, read it with passion, read it with feeling. Try then read that we are standing in front of Rozai Mubarak. And we are reading to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Inshallah, Allah will take away our problems. So Durood Sharif, Tawbah Istighfar. And even if I think I'm not making guna, then also toba. And real toba is from our real guna. And we are drowned in guna. And yet to think that I don't commit guna, that is a very, very sad part. A person who has got bad akhlaq, and he thinks I got very good akhlaq. How sad is in that condition? We are sinners to the core. We are drowned in sins, but yet we don't feel our... And the sign of that is we are looking at the sins of other people. That means I'm clean now, so I'm worried of the dirty people. Till we don't realize that I myself. So that is very important. And together with that then, some sadaqah. How much we can give sadaqah. Tawbah, istighfar and sadaqah on a daily basis. Even small, small amounts. Wherever we can, give some sadaqah. And du'as then. To engage in du'as, and du'as also seriously. Turn our attention to Allah Ta'ala and make du'a to Allah Ta'ala. Ulama have written, and so many bayans we have heard, so much we have read of du'as, the value of du'as. The Quran Sharif is full of it also. The great values of du'as. Let me myself ask myself, how much du'as am I really making for this problem? Most of our time on which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali becomes angry is just talking about the problem, this virus at the moment. It's a Chinese problem, American problem, it's a theory, there's an agenda behind it, and all our time just goes in that. Whereas a wise person, if we are sitting and we are discussing in the lounge, one person will go one side with a tasbih and he just reads Astaghfirullah. That person will be doing a much more greater service than all these very learned and very advanced people, what they are talking about it, and who feel that we know so much about it. This novel was written in 81 and the film was made then, and this was the agenda and that. All that is wasting our time. The real thing is to get to Amal, Tawakkul, and Allah wants us. This is one means that we come closer to Him. Let us not make it that we are still going further away. Let us all turn towards Allah Ta'ala, and more we turn to Allah Ta'ala in quantity also and in quality also. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshaAllah.